Hello, I'm Josh. I play the dead wizard, Xenator Brisbane. We're an independent podcast, so please consider joining us on Patreon, Instagram, and Twitter at CBHPod.
Could Have Been Heroes is a role-playing game podcast where six old friends adventure as six total strangers who, after missing their shots at destiny, now get a second chance to make a mess of everything. Cramuel Bonks was a work in progress. He said so all the time. I'm working on myself is a lot easier to admit than I'm a failure. So he did that instead. He had needed to make this pivot from total success to work in progress more or less immediately after his admission into the Academie Mystérieuse to study magic. It was an incredible honor to be admitted, especially since he didn't recall actually applying to the prestigious academy. Another boy in his village had, the same boy who screamed and cried all sour grapes about there being a mistake and Cramuel being admitted due to a cleric error, probably more specifically a cleric of Admon, god of form and files. He looked incredibly sharp in his uniform, so that was sweet, but found himself really confused by all the terminology in Astral's class, very bewildered they expected him to know all those different plants and fungi by smell in brewing, and nodded vacantly in Eldritch Substances practicums. While he didn't have any idea what his professors were talking about, he did make a best friend, and the two would go on to be totally inseparable. Nugs, Cramuel wasn't really sure if that was his real name or not, seemed just as much a fish out of water as he was. He got that expression from a girl in Stellar Chain's lab when she called Cramuel a fish out of water, but Nugs jumped to his defense. Fish out of water is how we all got here, Chica. Evolutionary leaps coming at ya. Cramuel didn't exactly follow, but he did, through tone and context clues, realize he was being defended by another student, so he leapt in enthusiastically. Two fish out of water, bro. Two fish out of water have no choice but to rely on each other for oxygen. The girl from the Stellar Chains lab looked at them both like they were insane, with, you know, genuine fear on her face, as if she was afraid they might be contagious. But Cramuel didn't mind. He and Nugs just laughed and slapped their palms together really hard. It made a very satisfying and loud noise, and that, Cramuel knew, meant that they had triumphed. It was a few months later when Cramuel arrived to brewing and found the door was locked. He knocked at the antique wooden frame a few times, and then the professor appeared at the door.
Ah, Cramuel, class is, cancelled today, the professor said.
Oh, wow, I guess.
What is it, boy? Just go, enjoy your day off. I'll have a raven-headed cat contact you when the, renovations are done and class can resume.
I hear you, Professor. It's just I'm a little confused since behind you I can see everyone sitting in their seats waiting for class to start.
No, you don't. That's an illusion, the professor said and closed the door in Cramuel's face.
The school must have been really falling apart because more of his classes were canceled every week, until suddenly Cramuel realized he didn't have a single one left. This was a bummer at first, but it did give he and Nugs more time to hang out, experiment with their own Minko tea brewing, and Nugs could conjure some pretty sick music from some very dank dimensions. Cramuel was pretty shocked how long the renovations were taking, but magic people did move at their own pace. He'd learned so and didn't sweat it too much. However, that fall, when classes started up again, and a freshman showed up to move into Cramuel's room, he started to wonder if something might be wrong. Cramuel went to the head office, and the woman there told him the boy was right, that he was assigned to that room. And would he mind being patient and waiting in the office until the head of housing got back from the plane of Pandemonium, the only dimension where the Academy's housing and scheduling magic seemed to work? And they'd figure out which room he'd been reassigned to together.
The waiting room was cold and only had one chair in it, and the door locked from the outside, and after a while, Cramuel was pretty hungry. He was rummaging around looking for something to eat, since he was getting pretty dizzy, when he found that one of the closets had a weird portal in the back of it, behind the brooms. Maybe he slipped, but before Cramuel knew it, he was tumbling headfirst into the portal and falling end over end through the branches of darkwood trees in the deep grimwood. An exceptional bummer. Now how the heck am I gonna get my room assignment figured out?
Hi, this is Martin. And if you missed last week's episode, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Anyway, the Nearleys charge forth, seeking to ally themselves with the Witches of the Grimwood, and failing that, gain safe passage to their destination of the Briar Tower. They come upon the Coven in the middle of the Great Festival of New Life. Crazy timing.
Okay, I'm ready to go, Nazi says with her backpack full of stuff and her black werewolf cat with like a bald face.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Who is this guy?
Is that guy?
Let me pet him.
Oh, this is Kirk.
Kirk.
What does he feel like to me?
Room temperature, which is strange because almost every living thing you've ever touched feels really warm to you now. Nothing. Nice, he feels like nothing to you.
Nice, Nazi, I appreciate
comfortable
the,
temperature to you.
The level of preparation, but do we need 3 pots and pans for the journey?
One pot is for cooking, one pot is for pee-pee, and the other pot is a weapon. It's made of cold iron.
Okay, okay, okay.
I brought all of my fairy hunting shit.
All right, well...
Who else is coming? Let's get this show on the road, guys! Yeah. Val and I want to get...
Whoa. Deep breaths.
The mania is strong with this one.
Nazi,
I'm
this
sorry,
is Jane.
I'm just a little... Hi, Jane.
She's a princess.
Hi, I'm a princess they made. Great. I don't... Cool. I want to go kill fairies.
Oh, well, that's not really the objective. We're going to a coven.
Oh, my God. Martin?
What? Witches, huh?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Martin, I can fuck with some witches.
Me. Cove?
Cove.
In.
Burn.
Nice. Terrible.
I'm not high.
Just gonna cast spirit fire on him. So just his ass, just like a little bit.
Captain Dark is standing with his new shiny rifle and his glowing cutlass. Nazi and her black cat are saying goodbye to the other cats, who look a bit agitated, but, you know, resigned to the fact that this is gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Doderfell has loaded himself up. He has his silver gauntlet on and a huge club that he's made out of part of, like, you know, most of a tree. The Cambion is looking, like, svelte in, like, almost like safari attire, like the safari khakis.
He's ready to travel.
He's, like, ready to travel. He's got the suspenders and everything, which he keeps, like, snapping. Like, he hasn't worn suspenders in a long time. He's like...
He's loving the feel of
the
suspenders.
Loving the feel. He's like, snap. Snap it. Otax Applejack has just been like lumbering around on the outskirts of the glen for a while, and Nottagaster has prepared the sleigh with so many animals.
You want to cinch your cat up to this?
No, I don't think that'd be a good idea. He needs to stay close.
Valeriana, here you are, the reins of the sleigh. This is a loan. I just want everyone to know that I'm not giving Valeriana the impossible sleigh.
Calm down. She'll take it if she wants it.
But
shotgun.
Oh, damn it!
You definitely ran into less stuff than I did when you were fleeing the...
I get nauseous in the back.
Yeah, well...
I'm always nauseous. Let's go.
Senator, we have hard shotgun rules in my sleigh.
We honor shotgun rules in my sleigh.
All right, so there is a large group of the Thistleberry refugees there to see you off. The children all standing around Melly Etchbridge, and you see that the last 3 children have been changed back to their old selves. Mm. And so Azarazel is there, and she waves her hand and twists the magic and opens up a gateway in the wardings to, like, let you out. And it's kind of happens quickly and is rather unceremonious. You have this like brief rest,
bye,
take
kids.
A few meetings.
Remember to eat your ration portion of vegetables.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, there's like a almost like a festival atmosphere. And sure enough, there are a few like handfuls of wildflowers, some of which are poisonous, but just don't get them in your mouths, that are thrown and strewn across your path. The team of animals is antsy, biting and champing at the bits. You know, the one deer, the two foxes, the six beavers, and you know, two dozen squirrels, random assortment of rabbits.
It's a bit of a hodgepodge.
It's a hodgepodge of animals all strapped to the front of the sleigh. But as soon as Val takes the reins, they all like become very calm. And you also see that White Knight has crawled his way out from inside of where he was hiding in Azarazel's tree, and like affixes himself to the front of the reins to like be the Rudolph at the front position.
Aww.
He has fashioned himself a blue cloak to match Val's red one.
Aww. Goodbye, everyone,
says Jalor Scumpet, who you haven't seen in a while.
He's coming with us.
White Knight's not going without him.
Goodbye, everyone.
All right, well.
I'm the quartermaster.
Oh, God, okay.
Well, yeah.
I can't imagine that Val belabors this any longer. She cracks the reins, and you go at a nearly impossible speed off into the woods.
I hate this part.
There is a huge crack and twist and pull and momentum, and Val, would you roll a cunning or agility undertaking?
Cunning.
To the
your butts, everybody.
Nice.
20.
Whoa. All right. This is an impossible sleigh. It is impossibly fast. It is impossibly nimble.
White Knight's lighting the way.
And it is impossible to control.
Oh, God. We're all dead. It's impossible to survive.
However, having that bright white rat with a vivid blue cloak at the front gives you like a nice like lead, and you're able to swerve through and past trees and under massive leaning arbors. You skid across the surface of a poison, like a bubbling poison lagoon, without you have so much forward momentum that you barely spray like any of the people on the back.
Sorry, everyone.
It's poison. It's in my eyes! Not a caster is blinded.
That was a high roll.
No. Well, yeah, that's why I sprayed Not a Caster and not anybody else.
That was strategic. Fuck you, Not a Caster.
It was deliberate.
All right, so the sleigh also somehow manages to accommodate all of these people and their gear and goods. Again, impossibly. It has this big raised portion in the back. This sleigh looks weirdly familiar. There's something about it that just seems like, and you could swear it used to have red paint on it, and now it's been like scrubbed heavily and like scraped off.
That, like up on a housetop.
Click, click, like, fucking click. Not a gaster murdered a saint for it.
Oh, God.
Okay, so some of you have some new items that suddenly swoop down in front of you. An enormous black and white creature, or wait, it's two creatures, has just pivoted down out of the sky. Penguins. Two penguins are flying above you, and they're carrying a massive, like, chest between them, held in each one of their...
Penguins can't fly.
Holy shit, no! And then they crash into the ground, shattering their necks, blood spraying all over Gwen's face. Ha, just kidding. We're not flying. We're swimming.
Oh.
Good thing we found you. We're from the guild.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yay.
Here's your stuff. You requisitioned some stuff.
Ha, see, being the guild's got its perks. What we get?
Ah, the wizard.
Yeah, that's me.
Here's a bottle. An empty bottle.
Yes. He hands you an empty bottle.
Is there like, is it a magic bottle?
Probably.
All right.
Why don't you open it? That's terrible.
Can anybody else do a better bottle opening?
Oh, slightly better.
Oh my God.
That was faint, but perfect.
Yeah.
Andy, weird. Good Foley. There we go. All right, so as soon as the bottle opens, a spell escapes out of it and slithers up into your hands, and you have to snatch at it. Yeah, make an intellect hidden difficulty check. It's going to slip and hit Gwen, and she'll get it.
Okay.
Arcanist. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Sage?
No, I don't think that one.
Heroes
works.
Creed?
What is that one?
Protect the weak?
No, I don't
think
so.
We'll just go with Arcanist then. 19.
Oh, that is still plenty high. You snatch the spell out of the air, twist it around, and then before you know it, you are scribbling it madly in an ecstatic frenzy into your spell book. You gain the spell Memory Jar.
Yeah.
The jar itself is for now not for holding the spell, but for holding those memories you might need.
Memories.
Would you read this?
Alone in this stupid jar.
All right. In a hazy spectral rush, you siphon the target's memories of the last 12 seconds into a jar of witch glass and trap them inside. The process is disorienting and has a 70% chance to daze. The memories remain trapped within the jar until it's shattered or opened, at which time the memories immediately return as long as they are within the same realm as the originator.
Ah, ladies. I'm sorry. Should have gone ladies first, and especially bird ladies first.
One of the penguins pulls out a gorgeous cloak with a label on it that says Cloak of Elvenkind and hands it to Miss... Well, not hands it. They're on the wing. They're flying next to you, these two penguins. Well, they're swimming through the air, sorry. And they're like opening this chest and like kind of cartwheeling and throwing the objects out of it. So he throws it out to you, Lavaline. Would you read your Cloak of Elvenkind?
Is that a Vera wing cloak?
Holy shit.
I hate you.
I like you. You're Martin, right?
That I am.
If you're looking for a sidekick or a familiar, the hero we belong to is the dead. We don't even remember their names.
Oh, man.
Horrible way to go.
You can't add two
as, yeah, as much as I'd like another sidekick and familiar, I do have one and
oh,
a talking
Oh, no, we're
shield.
Not available right now, but maybe later on.
Sure.
The Cloak of Elvenkind. This stylish-like cloak is detailed and is exquisitely... fine leaf and ivy patterns. Woven enchantments keep it from becoming dirty or tangled, and any tears stitch themselves closed. The cloak carries with it two powerful item facets. I get a +6 with you blend into the pattern of leaves, branches, roots, or grasses, becoming very hard to see if still. Or a +4, elves, fairies, and other fae-blooded folk find themselves wishing to be kind and fair to you.
I like
Elven kind. I gave in and gave Kathy a pun because she loves them so much.
Weird. It says here in the manifest that I'm supposed to have something, some sort of disguise kit or a, what it says, a silver case, box for you.
Is it for me? Is it for me? Is it for me?
Give it.
It's not here. Where is it? Shit. Uh-oh, we could be in trouble.
Oh, wait. I forgot. I already got it.
Weird.
Oh, wait. I just dreamed about it. No, wait, I got it.
No, you actually have it.
Oh, my God, keep all of that in.
No, wait.
No, wait. No, wait.
The most Martin.
I already received my gift.
Okay, that's a little weird. What, it's a case for disguises?
That makes more sense than I thought
it
was.
Using it.
Yes. I was using it as a face lotion applicator.
You all open it up and show them this lotion you've been dunking your face into. Oh my God.
I did like 5 pumps into the face
every
hole.
Every night.
Into the face. My face hole. Into the hole. Hydration.
I love it.
Well, whatever you're doing, it's working. You're absolutely radiant.
You're
Thank
glowing.
You.
Okay, let's see. Poisons and toxins, is that for... That's for you. Miss Val, here you are. Careful, that stuff is very virulent.
Yeah, I can handle it. Toxins for tots. This is a first edition!
Awesome.
Okay, wait. Well, you want to read your item to us?
No, yeah, read. Tell me.
It's called My First Poisons, Toxins for Tots. It says, this bewitched set of vials, ointments, and oils were developed under elves as my first poisons, toxins for tots, in an effort to make their children's first experiences with poison and venoms easy, fun, and safe. Over the years, the enchantments within prove so valuable that even master assassins covet this limited run. See? It's limited. Of toxineering eight gadgets. The mechanical apparatus of the item mixes and spins the serums contained within, preparing a blade shaped sheath ready for a quick plunge, poisoning a blade at a moment's notice.
Gwen receives a beautiful, glimmering new cloak to go under her traveling robes. It is a beautiful gown covered in emeralds and sequins and fish scales and flowing with abundant mana.
So I have the Cloak of Flowing Mana, which is apparently quite beautiful.
Yes.
And it adds one guard, one grit, one warding, one body, one mind, one spirit, six anima. And when I cast a spell, I can spend one power to restore three anima for another character within 10 spaces of me.
That is a hell of a nice piece
and
of
look,
gear.
It's Man a T. Taylor. Brand.
Get out.
So, having received your requisition from a requisition order from the guild, the two air swimming penguins give you a nod, salute, and then pitch back off up into the air.
Goodbye.
And then blink out of existence because they're familiars, and now you're not thinking about them anymore. So they vanish from existence. And then you speed off towards the Candlewood, and you start to notice you're very nearly there. Val rolled so high on her check, in fact, that no more checks were required. The sleigh has sped safely and carefully between the trees.
Sleigh!
So ahead of you, you can see something changes in the trees. It almost looks like the trunks of the trees are drooping or bending as if they're soft, and there's sap running down them, but maybe it isn't sap. It could be wax. The trees are becoming pale and white, and there's wax running down them from glowing orange or
like candle.
Glowing orange or yellow fires that are lit inside of the God
Martin
damn it.
It's very clear.
Yeah, Martin, you can just hear Martin whisper to himself, "Oh, I get it."
And then as you get closer, there start to be rivers and streams of molten wax mixing in slightly different color gradients instead of streams, and big chunks of like heavy wax that haven't been sculpted into trees yet instead of boulders, and it becomes warm, and the lurking creatures that you've been seeing the whole time start to dip and like disappear into the distance. But then you start to see new things. Men walking around with no heads, but instead just a wick sticking up from between their shoulders with a single flame illuminating them instead of a face. Cats with no heads but wicks and little small cat faces, like ghostly portraits of cats made of flame, and birds with wings that are entirely made out of fire. The wicks like dipping and coiling around in their midsection like a nest. And you can see eggs of wax inside of the middle of the bird. The bird is its own nest. And the Candlewood starts to stretch and grow in front of you. Okay, so the impossible sleigh responds with incredible celerity and control to Val's tugs and swerves on the reins. Every once in a while, a large like bubble of wax will expand and pop on the surface and spatter you all with that like that kind of vaguely stinging sensation. Yeah, that ow.
Hold on, everyone. This ride is getting kinky.
Yeah, wax play.
Just somewhere in the background is an ogre standing under a tree being like, "Don't look at me.
I'm a monster."
Oh, God. But ogres are not allowed in the woods. So the creepy creatures and like scuttling shadows and
it's the word of the day
and slithering mists and cavorting ghoulies that you've seen off through the trees have all sort of vanished as you are going deeper into the Candlewood. It seems like just this ambient glow is beginning to kind of permeate the air, and in fact I need all of you to check your reckoning. And everyone but Gwen, whose sacred curse is very compatible with the candlewood,
suck on that.
Need to make a vitality difficulty 10 or your reckoning minus 10 check. So however high, so the difficulty is however many points over 10 your reckoning is.
Oh, okay.
What if I'm under 10?
Then you don't have to make a check.
How does Martin have a lower reckoning than me?
He's been working really hard at controlling himself. What'd you get?
That's
I rolled an 11.
So. All right. God
damn it. I passed.
Roll 10.
Okay, so my roll and my vitality is 11 together.
Uh-oh. How much higher than 10 is your reckoning?
5 maybe.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
no. I fucking knew it.
Okay, so suddenly Val...
Reckoning of 15 ain't good.
Val starts to get kind of
right behind you, girl.
Itchy. And so those of you watching Val drive the sleigh start to see like clicks and ticks.
Like when a dog's ears need to be cleaned.
Exactly. Like, the ears. the ears especially start to like juke, like there's something like mites in them or something. And and she's starting to get like uncomfortable, and you can see like beads of perspiration running down the back of her neck. Those of you who passed your check or didn't have to feel this like pervasive warmth inside of you, but
I'd like to feel that now. I'm freezing.
It doesn't make too much trouble. Everybody but Val, who is busy driving the sleigh, would you please make a focus difficulty 4 check to see if you spot something about...
So I actually do have to do this one?
Yeah, okay. This one you do. To see if you spot something about Lavaline in particular.
Do I get a bonus for it being about myself?
Actually, you should probably take a penalty because it would be harder for you to see. I won't.
Difficulty 4,
yeah. No, it's like, you know how like if you had like something stuck in your teeth, like that would be harder for you to see.
No, I know, but the look on your face...
Did I?
Was
Zen gonna scrape?
It was a look.
How about loyal?
Absolutely.
Sage?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, then I pass.
Hey, there we go.
I fail.
Finally. I failed big time.
Maybe Xenator has wondered what Lavaline's sacred curse expression would be. Because Martin, you know, nobody knew what his sacred curse was. You don't even know if he has one, but he does have a freaky monster demon in his head. Gwen's expression is clearly tied to the like the wood and the trees and the like.
I'm a literal tree.
She's literally turning into a tree. Val's is tied to the legend of the red cloak and the hungry wolf. Lavaline's has been a bit of a mystery.
Ooh.
Until now.
Oh, shit.
What?
Xenator sees Lavaline's shadow cast across the sleigh behind her by the glowing orange lights of an illuminated candle tree that you're passing by. And as that permeating, like, protective aura stretches over it, the shadow twitches a little bit. And then it makes a movement that Lavaline is not making. Her shadow, like, unpins itself from its mirroring.
Black Swan!
Mimicking
Pan.
Of her.
Oh, Peter Pan!
And looks off, like, to the right, towards that candle that's shedding the light. And then it makes this little twitch, and the fire in the candle tree that what you were just passing by, and you might not have noticed this because you're passing by at such speed, but the light snuffs out and the tree like cools and twists and a big crack runs down the middle of it, and then the shadow like disappears into the darkness for a second, and when you pass another candle tree, the illumination has the shadow just as a normal representation of what you would expect to be cast by Lavaline herself.
Huh. Hey, Lavaline. Hmm. Did you notice that candle tree getting snuffed out back there?
According to my role, nope.
But you know what? You do recall as you were passing by that candle tree that the light got in your eyes and kind of made you squint. But no, you didn't notice that the light went out.
You didn't even know you did
I think, no, I'm pretty sure that I saw your shadow snuff it out.
You know, shadows are just absence of light. They aren't independent things. You know that, right?
Oh, that is not true. not always, and not entirely.
Definitely.
Wow. Actually.
Hey, definitely not in the lands. Below.
Can I diagnose what her curse is then?
Sure. You want to make an intellect check?
Yeah.
All right. Intellect
Do you, Josh?
Intellect difficulty. Intellect difficulty 11.
All right, Sage.
Okay.
Arcanist.
Mm-hmm.
And
get one more.
Do you have Inquisitive?
I know.
You can do it.
Yeah, but I don't think Inquisitive is the right thing here.
Nope.
I'm maybe Protect the Weak?
Ooh. No.
Oh.
Oh. Nah, I don't think that'll
offense.
Help. Go ahead.
So full offense.
I don't get why Inquisitive.
Because this is more about like what I know,
not like trying to find something out.
Oh, you've already done the finding. Fine.
21.
21 minus 10.
Oh, 11.
Holy shit! You just made it. I thought that 10 check was pretty difficult. I mean, it was. Just made it.
Did it.
Okay, so hold on, my terminology.
Well, we didn't even prepare because
I wasn't prepared.
I don't have any way you were gonna
wow. I didn't think you'd get this far.
Breaking the game.
So the curse of the dancing shadow. This is the classic mirror image looking back out at you from beyond the glass. That's not you. It's the other you. It's the you from beyond the pale. And now as you look, you remember the legend of the swan maiden, the white swan, the black swan, Odile and Odette, the twin entities that danced around this enchanter's lake. And it's a very sad story, and you can't remember all of the details of it, but there is a tradition of, you know, of this sort of mirroring this dark, like, wherever there is bright and vivid light. And who is a more bright and vivid light than Lavaline? She must be, like, glowing. Those white feathers reflecting the candlelight and
iridescent.
The moonlight. Iridescent. Rainbow sheen. But, yeah, there is. So for every positive, there is a negative and vice versa. So,
I had the others figured out, but I've honestly all this time been a little bit still curious to see exactly how your curse would manifest, but I think it's your shadow.
And then, since it's been spotted, the shadow, like, gracefully lifts up one arm, and you can feel, Lavaline can feel her left arm tingling as this sort of separates from her image, and it reaches over to Martin's shadow, and flicks his shadow behind the ear, and Martin, you feel this, like, sharp, like...
Oh my god! Poor guy.
And then it, like, and as quickly as it did, it has snapped back to its original position.
Something bit me.
Huh?
Interesting.
So,
that's a good one. I mean, as far as sacred curses go.
I want a better sacred curse.
Yeah, what's going on here?
All you hear is... So meanwhile, at the front, Val is, like, itchy and twitchy. Gwen, I think you were sitting next to her, so you notice Val's, like, ears twitching.
Everything hurts. Not
what
hurts.
Is going on?
It's uncomfortable.
Why are you trying to lift your leg up to scratch
yourself? Yeah, I think I got caught something
yourself.
Back in the...
Do you need me to, like, is there board? A... Itch you can't read.
Yeah, right.
Oh! Her behind her ear, her arms are like
is that the spot?
Holy
shit!
Oh my god!
Gwen, we're gonna crash!
That's right.
Where's your good girl?
Okay, so music begins. I think I may have already described the music, but the music drifts louder and louder into your ears. This beautiful, like, flute and drum. The drum you probably hear first because that tends to travel, but it's got that very midsummer, like, festival vibe, even though it is the dead of night now. Hmm. The moons are high. The silver crescent is like sort of spiraling in the air, and the blue moon is up, smiling down through the trees, and the harvest moon is up, glowing, you know, yellow-orange. However, those of you who know anything about like the lunar cycles or whatever would expect to see the mother's moon up tonight. But that is missing in the sky tonight, which you would have expected to see judging by the lunar cycles. And then you start to see people celebrating, revelers. Some are fully nude, except for the masses of flowers and garlands in their hair with ribbons trailing behind them. Some are in these like shimmering white shifts that are in some spots streaked and stained with fresh blood. They're dancing in circles or rings around particularly interesting wax trees. All of these flower headdresses are enormous. They look heavy and they sort of defy gravity. They sit on top of the head in these like weird intricate crowns and swirls with like branches poking out of them, and it's hard to imagine how they stay like affixed to the like wild unkempt hair of the women like cavorting and capering. And yeah, sort of an intoxicating aura starts to spread over the group.
Ooh, like you feel I want like one of had... those flower crowns.
Yeah, you feel like you have had like a glass of wine at this point.
Oh, now you're speaking my language. Does anyone else feel amazing?
Welcome, welcome, one and all. So a cluster, 30 or 40 of these women in these vividly colored dresses, fur mantles that are alive, like the skins are crawling around and writhing on their back. One has the woman in the middle has a fox pelt that is fully like alive, and its teeth are snapping.
Fuck yeah.
And it's like licking its lips, and she's a head taller than all the others. I mean, this she's like 6'7", 6'8" feet of just incredible willowy woman with this like grayish ashen skin. You can't tell if that she has like mud smeared on her face or if she just has this weird pallor. And so she comes kind of gliding out of the woods, and these women come dancing out from behind her, and flowers are sort of like levitating and floating in the air. Your wish is my command tonight. And she gestures towards Martin, and sure enough, the flowers start to like alight on top of his head and coil into his hair. And before you know it, he has one of those beautiful flower crowns that looks like it was made for him.
It's, I want one.
Is it pretty?
It's orange and yellow. And
Martin, pretty now?
It's gorgeous.
The Cambion like rubs the small of your back. Martin, very pretty.
I want one too.
Yes, no request is denied on the night of the festival.
Well, we should probably.
She gestures towards you, and a cluster of swamp lilies and grass coils up around your head into like this big like turban-y beehive shape, and beautiful blossoms and ivy start to dangle out of it, and it has like a bluish sort of,
it's very like Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, yes, yes, it's definitely like a fictional Marie, you know, like fantasy Marie Antoinette hairdo. Yes.
I suppose we should introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm Martin, troll slayer. Charmed, I'm sure.
As I extend my hand.
which she like awkwardly sort of does that like her hand is out like this, and she just sort of grabs it and, yes, welcome everyone, welcome to the festival. We know you, Martin. Yes, we know you, Gwendolyn Evangeline Clute of the Avalon Clutes. And we know you, Valeriana Vacarel, Rebel in Red. And we know you, Lavaline Crest, Lavaline of the Swan, Lavaline of the Fey Realms, and hello, Zenitor.
well met,
Mr. Brisbane.
And you are then?
Mr. Brisbane, if you're nasty.
I am Mother Brolladine. I am your welcoming committee and your guide to the festivities this evening.
Anything you wish that is within our power to grant, we shall, on this the most sacred and celebrated night, the night of new life.
I'm sorry, what was your name again? I was distracted adjusting my flower crown.
Mother Braladine, and this is Sister Sylvie, Sister Malloway, Sister Vaughny. They will show you anything that you need to, she says, gesturing to these three younger, lovely women who each have, like, they seem to be color-coded for you. One has red, one has green, and one has blue flowers in their hair, and they have these nimbuses of flower petals that follow them around and trail them. So, like, even in the, like, dense forest or the crowds, you could probably follow them by these flower petals that trail around. They have, like, those quest objective markers that go to them. Like,
Sister Paula Dean.
Mother Braun. I am Sister Paula Dean. And then Kamara, Kamoro, and Valduel, the little fairy witches, the, like, one, the little kind of chubby, chunky, floaty ones that, like, come out of the woods and, like,
good to see you again. Yes, sisters. Always a pleasure.
Zenitor.
It's like they've all so fucked Zenitor and they're like, don't want to see
yeah,
him again.
How many
don't
think of these I've ladies have
intercourse with
scorned.
Anyone from this coven.
Late.
Oh,
I know.
Rude.
Just wait.
My God.
So it's what? That kind of party.
I didn't.
I'm sorry, you're giving off fuckboy energy.
Yeah,
I don't know
they
what's
all
going
seem
on.
A little scorned by you. What did you do? What did he do?
It's his lot. It's his clan. It is the wizards of the circle with whom we have a long history. But don't Ooh. Mistake it. No unpleasant feelings here. Just friendly adversarial under the breath.
Enemies to lovers. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Lovers to enemies.
There is a fine line.
It's like a friendly rivalry, like two sports ball teams.
Sports ball. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
What the noodle said. It's like a sports ball.
So what's the occasion? What are you all celebrating?
New life. New blood. It is the refreshment of our clan. We tonight, under the Mother Moon and beside the Mother Moon, we shall admit new witches into the coven.
Oh, that's
new witches.
For you.
Oh, who are the candidates?
And at that point, this sort of moonlight glow, Nimbus, like, starts to coalesce around Lavaline, Val, and especially around where Gwen is standing, pooling at her feet. Yeah, you feel light. You almost feel like you could float if you wanted to.
Holy.
Oh, for real?
You're...
Interesting.
But
I wish to float.
So you feel suddenly like you are underwater, and then your feet tip up until you're standing on your tiptoes, and then everything is light, and you realize just how much, like, the world weighs down on you and how, like, sore all of your joints are.
My
and
God.
then when it's all weightless, everything seems so clear.
Whoa.
The power seems so clear.
Is there precedent for witches who have dual loyalty to a coven and the guild? Heroes Guild?
There are people who are members of a coven who are in the Heroes Guild. Yes, okay. That has happened.
So I can have both, is what you're saying.
If that's your choice, there's nothing prohibiting it. But remember what we talked about last night, okay? This might...
Quiet, you.
Kill your buzz, please.
No logic allowed here, only feelings.
And also, remember what we just talked about with Lavaline's shadow.
Studying,
right?
And diligence.
Yeah, consistency.
By the way, Gwen is, like, floating away, so Otax has to, like, reach up and, like, grab onto
like
her
a balloon.
Her robe so that she doesn't just float off. Yeah, we've got this, like, Gwen's, like, Thanksgiving Day parade balloon.
I think it's going really well so far, you guys.
I love it here.
Just don't do anything without thinking it through, okay?
Now, wizard, tonight is not for thinking, it is for feeling.
Yeah!
No, all knights are forfeit.
Oh, she's already gone, buddy.
Well, you
lock up the wizard!
Kill the wizard! Now, Betty, calm down. We're not killing the wizard. Not tonight. That's not what tonight is about. Tonight.
Yeah, that's
is...
the fall festival.
That's the fall festival. Now is for sowing the seeds. We will harvest them later.
I'm a little embarrassed coming empty-handed. I don't even have, like, I have newt or anything. It's
Well, we would have loved some, actually. But not to worry. You are our guests. And as of now, you are all under our protection.
Cool.
Nothing shall harm you with while we still draw breath. That is our pledge to you tonight.
Fair.
Good. So, welcome to the festival. And then she gestures her hand, and the forest behind her seems to spread and twist and open up, and then colors and lights and music comes blaring in loud, and you can see this massive festival, women dancing, a few men scattered here and there, but they all have this, like, female energy to them, and they're... And they have that moonlight glow cascading out of them that all of the gathered witches have.
Right when she says under our protection and the woods open up, Martin beelines it for the fire to join in dancing.
Yes.
So, and before you know it, Martin has joined
the revelry.
A mostly nude, partially blood spattered dancing. Cavalcade around the central fire. The central fire.
Start twerking by the fire.
He's all in.
The central fire.
He's very limber, isn't he?
No, it's more in your knees than your butt, actually.
Oh, is it?
Pop it.
Pop it. Lock it. Pop it. So the central fire is a massive roaring bonfire where the fire inside of it is red and blue and green and yellow. This prismatic blaze coiling in a tornado around dozens and dozens of stakes. These huge timber pine stakes that have been set up. And on each one is an effigy of a witch. Like a crook-nosed, beady-eyed, snarling hag or a nasty, crooked-toothed, like... You know,
stereotypes
being burned at the stake, but they never burn all the way through. And the more you look at them, the more they smile. And you can see some of them are moving. There's some sort of like magical construct that is like bathing in the flames, never burning through. All right, so Martin, you are dancing and reveling at the flames. Would you please make a persona or an agility undertaking? See how high you can get it.
Dance, dance.
Dance, magic,
dance. Dance, magic, dance.
Can I call on Kind?
Absolutely.
And Bendy.
Oh, yep, definitely. Yeah.
All right, that'll give me a 15.
Nice, okay. Will you let the revel into your heart? The woman holding your left hand says. The young man holding your right hand, who is far away from you because your right hand has sort of stretch armstronged and is like bending. Will you let the dance into your soul? And you can feel the fire like surging out, and you feel like quickness and celerity and like hot blood just like pouring up from pouring up from inside of you, like inner fire boiling up.
Yes, so, I just want to dance.
Okay, Martin.
You can dance if you want to.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave my friends behind.
Are you sure you would like to accept the blessing of the festival here and now?
Yes.
Yeah, the spirit of the rhythm has taken me over.
Okay.
This body is not going to stop.
This is the rhythm of the night.
All right. Would you add dancer to your facet line, your trade skill facet line? Again, if you have three facets on a facet line, something else happens. So let me know if you go over your limit.
But I got two.
All right. And you may permanently increase your agility or persona characteristic by one.
Ooh, lock.
Holy shit. All right.
This is the rhythm of the night.
I'm going to, permanently bump up my agility.
Get it, girl.
So
This dance is in Martin's body and blood for the rest of his days.
Wow.
He is.
No pressure.
The music, the rhythm always lives inside of him. He, like 100 years from now, Martin will wake up in the morning going, "This is the rhythm."
You're going to have your curse.
Club flashback.
No. No, it isn't a curse. It's nice. It's like a nice, it's like a friend showing up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that incessant, like stuck in your head. Okay. It is like a nice, pleasant.
Oh, yeah.
A certain doom comes out of Gwen's backpack and just beelines it into the dance.
Oh, pulling, no.
Trips and goes flying into the fire.
That's their problem now.
Certain doom.
Don't stab anybody.
He's immortal.
Wouldn't that be funny if that's what his name wound up meaning, is that he's always doomed, but it never sticks. Anyway, so yeah, he's pulling off his clothes as he runs. And that, then before you know it, there's just this naked, chubby little baby thing running out into the, you know, willy-nilly out into the dance, joining into the festivities. So there are all kinds of things going on. There's weaving and braiding and artistic endeavors. There's a group of women pulling, like, handfuls of starlight and moonlight out of the air and using it to weave garments, and then they're basically doing like a little fashion show where they like show off their designs and like are giving instructions on the magical properties of the different braids and knots that they're making. There's women around a massive iron cauldron, like brewing potions and teas that they're ladling out, and everyone is taking little sips of, and then their eyes will roll back in their head. And there's something going on with a group of very muscular, like athletic looking young women called tree wrestling, where they like sort of limber up and then they will twist their arm and a nearby tree will, like, its branches and trunk will twist and contort until it's a massive arm, which will then set itself down on this stone. And then another will do that, and the two arms will grab each other, and then mimicking their gestures, the gestures of the conjurers, they will try to see who can, like, overpower the other. So here it isn't all wax trees, to be specific. There are wax trees intermixed with ancient oaks and gnarled strange old grimwood trees, and then there is a literal, like, so there is someone nearby who is holding a cat up and like showing the different parts of it, and then sets it down, and then the cat goes and like changes into a goat, and then she picks the goat up and shows it, and you realize that it is a familiar show. Like when you take your familiar and like show it, and then you can see judges
like the Westminster.
Yeah, it's the Westminster
show.
Familiar show. Yeah,
I want to enter Todd.
Oh my god! Oh, I just can't. Oh heavens!
Don't make me sing.
Okay, so
enter Todd.
I want to. I'm requesting. All right,
so
enter
Martin
Todd.
Has run off and is half nude, naked. Dancing around the fire.
I'm running to enter Todd into the Westminster familiar show.
All right, Gwen. Yeah, he doesn't even need the euphoria tea. He is Martin is already on cloud nine.
Oh, fucking Martin.
Yeah, and Gwen is takes Todd and sprints up. Oh, I don't know. I just don't know if I could possibly.
We're gonna win this thing.
Let's go.
Okay. All right, Gwen. So you hit. Let's just go ahead and we'll do each of these in turn. So Gwen hits the show, like the ring around the show, and one of them like turns, looks at your familiar, and goes, "Welcome, ladies." And she gestures for you.
Yes.
You're up next.
Are you ready,
Tom? Oh my god! I didn't have any time to prepare.
Game faces. I'm greasing her up.
Here, come on, get in.
Getting
there.
Him into a tiny little speedo.
Yeah.
You can do this.
Pain is beauty.
Okay, so you oil his feathers, and then so he's a black, but like a weird black parakeet bird thing with like little horns coming off the top
he's
of his head.
He's been through it.
Ah, yes, and here we have Gwendolyn Evangeline Clute, one of our new potential acolyte sisters. And here we have her familiar, Todd. Todd is a mutated black fowl bird that, you can see he has an excellent sheen on him. The Speedo leaves very little to the imagination, which we all appreciate.
And he's posing.
Oh, yes, the tiny grunts and sounds that he makes.
Show him your wings, man. Show him your wings.
He stretches his wings out wide. We can see he has a very plump breast.
Dance. Begin to dance.
He just lifts up one foot and then the other foot lifts him up. Yes, he is dancing for our amusement. The judges are really responding. Judges are really responding to that. And now for the shape-shifting portion of the evening, can we see any other
snake?
And then snake's little Todd head. No, Todd's little bird head just twists and contorts and fangs pop out of it. Oh, a gruesome transit, gruesome. And then his head flares out and it like this cobra hood spreads out. So he's definitely a little bird with a snake head. And then his body just goos into a snake thing that coils around her body and it's all pocked and marked.
And then we do the Britney Spears snake dance.
Oh, the judges are very off-put by that transformation. Oh. That is what we like to see. We like to see a nice, gruesome transformation. All right, Gwen. Persona undertaking.
God damn it.
You got to get higher than the first place person to win, so let's see it.
I'm scared.
All right, Todd is definitely giving you at least a 2 bonus.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, that's certain doom over there.
Weird. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. Beauty. And naturalist.
Alright, so beauty is going to be a critical facet, so you get double for that one.
Okay. What do I get anything for weird?
Yeah, yeah, all of those work.
All of them work, okay.
Yep, so they like unusual, they want to see unique, strange, so that works great.
2, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then a +2 from Todd.
Mm-hmm.
So that's +14 to my roll, which was a 7.
Nice!
So whatever 7 + 14 is. 20 in the ballpark.
21, I think.
Great.
Right?
21.
So the judges, they all like standing ovation. A blue ribbon manifests itself on Todd's little body, permanently increasing all of his defenses by 1.
Yes!
And Gwendolyn, do you wish to accept the soul of the show? Do you wish to accept the spirit of the exhibition?
I accept!
Okay.
What do I get?
You may increase your persona or your cunning by 1 permanently.
Ooh, my cunning, because my cunning's really low.
Okay, what's a girl gotta do to get in on this little,
thank you.
All right, Val.
Todd's defense is going up.
Because I'll do whatever it takes.
Anything.
I'll
plus
do
1
anything.
Bonuses.
All right, Val, which of the things here have drawn your eye? The tea, the artisanry, the tree wrestling, that you could join the dance. There definitely is a sex tent going on.
It goes without saying, but there is.
I know I didn't
happening.
Have to mention this, but there is definitely a very classy masked orgy going on somewhere in the
inside. How Puritan.
No, I mean it's open air. I mean,
Josh. I mean, Senator.
Zen's a secret freak. Not so secret.
It's not even a secret anymore.
Well, I mean, it's just to designate
He's
it
a
as
freak.
The
secret freak.
He's secret freaky.
For now, as the night goes on, uh-huh.
And then whizzing by overhead, you see 6 or 7 women in these flowing robes. Riding broomsticks. They shoot back and forth across the like canopy of.
If she gets a broom before me, we are gonna have words.
They shoot back and forth across the canopy of the witches gathering, cackling, doing their best cackles. and it looks like they're racing them.
They're playing Quidditch.
Thanks to one of them catches this little golden ball that looks like J.K. Rowling, and they rip its head off. And she goes, bleh! Blood sprays on their face. I win! I win!
Incredible.
Yep. Okay, so would you like to join in one of the activities? Or would you like to sort
racing.
Of Zenitor in the corner all by yourself?
You're gonna
I'm not going to jack it in the corner in the dark. Zenitor.
That's not 100% sure. That's
okay.
No.
Whatever
no,
you
okay.
say,
everybody
buddy,
everybody
know.
Look away from Zenitor.
I like
you
what's going
rat.
On in
no,
there.
No, look.
Oh, having such
I want
nice
you to look.
Time.
I want you to look.
Look at me.
Don't look at me.
No, look at me.
Anyway, Zenitor really
no
got
sick,
into it.
Sick bastard.
You're
Zenitor.
So sick. You're just
perverted. Okay.
So bad.
Val, what activity would you like to join in? An activity.
She wants a broom race.
No.
Don't
yeah. be mad. I'm totally mad.
So you run over to where there are these huge wooden stands covered in brooms. Some of them are like comical, twisted, knotted whorls of wood with bristles sticking out of the bottom. They all look like homely, like the brooms of like, you know, housekeepers, janitors. There's a mop in the corner.
Yeah,
like,
there's a vacuum.
There's a vacuum, yeah.
There's no Swiffers
Hocus
or vacuums.
Pocuses? Oh.
No, not this is the Grimwood. They like things nice and classic here, so. But
Hocus Pocus is a classic.
It is a classic.
You know what?
Kathy to Jimmy on a vacuum is iconic.
Yeah.
So looking over the brooms, I think assessing which one would be right for you, I think that's gonna be a cunning undertaking. Okay. Roll a cunning undertaking.
14.
So you've got a 14. Do you have any facets you would like to add? Specifically, would you like to try and hit that 15 mark? Cause that's if you can hit that 20 mark, that would
hint,
be
amazing.
Let's go bold.
Definitely.
Wild.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is going to affect what kind of broom you get.
Okay.
The wand chooses the wizard, Harry.
The broom chooses the crotch,
the
lady.
The crotch, lady. I wish.
Opportunistic?
For sure.
I've got a magic wand.
You hit the 20?
Yeah, 21.
Okay. There is...
Name of Hibichi.
A particularly... I'm sorry. What did you say?
I think they're talking about dicks again.
Vibrators.
We're talking about vibrators.
Oh,
gosh, Josh.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A wand.
Get your head out of the gutter, Josh.
Just because my son had a magic wand. Oh.
The rabbit chooses
Hitachi.
The Hitachi.
Oh, what the fuck were we doing? Okay, so a gray... oaken broom with a tuft of bristles on the end that looks like the tail of an animal, like a puffy fox tail or maybe like wolf fur, like made into sort of
offensive.
Bristles. It picks up off of the stand, levels in the air, and it floats over to you, and then it
Whoa.
Starts just like. Like, it, there's no
it
other.
It nags me. It starts like poking at me.
Yeah, it starts like it starts poking at you, almost like it's a dog or an animal,
like
trying to get your scent and trying to get your attention.
Yeah, I know my pits are smelly. Fine.
It loves
fine.
It. It's in there. It's getting in there. Like, so anyway, the broom is pushing and like nuzzling and poking at you, trying to get your attention.
Oh, let's go.
And sure enough, it like lowers down, you leap up on top of it, and then before you know it, six other witches have lined up on their brooms. One of them, one right next to you has a shock of red hair, and she has got like flight goggles on, and she turns and looks over at you. Sup, new meat?
You wanna go?
Do
I'm
you
ready.
Wanna go?
Yeah.
Well,
I was first to line up.
Look at the new witch riding on her new broom.
You sound jealous and scared.
Oh.
I was born to be scared.
Wait, what?
Oh, perfect.
And then the witch in front drops the flag and you blast off on your room. Okay, agility. agility a contest. So against
Oh shit.
I'm 11 before facets.
I'll hit those facets.
You can do this. I believe in you.
Hey, Val, Alav, can you roll a d12 for me?
Bold. Let's go bold and wild again.
One.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Hold on. Bold and wild.
Bold, wild. Well, opportunistic. Again, let's see.
Well, you know what? That's actually going to work out because of what I had planned. So you launch forward, and the witch next to you launches forward with incredible burst of speed, and she reaches out to try to, like, kick the front of your broom and deviate you into a nearby tree, which you grab her foot, twist, and barrel roll underneath her, and you just hear this. And she hits the tree, and it's made of wax, so she just, like, squitches right into it. And you get this, like, slingshot momentum out of this and hurtle to a first-place finish. And in mid-flight, you can feel this voice in your head. Do you accept the thrill of the race? The thrill of the chase? Will you accept the speed?
Absolutely I do. I want to go again.
Okay, so you can add a +1 to your vitality or your agility. Now, if your agility can't go above 10 here. Yeah, you guys are all still capped at 10 for a little bit. But would you like to add permanently a point of agility?
Oh, vitality.
Or vitality.
Yeah, let's bring that vitality up to 5.
Okay, so who has not picked a revel yet?
You want to go, Kathy, or you want me to?
You can go.
Oh.
All right, so the teas
sex
and potion
tent.
Brewing.
Sex tent.
Tree wrestling.
Let's go. potion brewing sounds good.
Okay. So,
sounds safe.
Hello. There's this very sweet-eyed, chub-cheeked old granny over here leading the potion brewing.
Hello. Welcome to the cauldron. I am Grandmother Polly.
Well met.
My beauty has tongue-tied the young gentleman.
It certainly has. May I join you?
Yes, you have very sophisticated taste. Speaking of tastes, what can I brew for you? The Ever Cauldron has all the stuff.
And she motions, and you can see eyes and, like, severed human hands floating in parts of it. But then, like, gleaming rose petals and the hair of, like, a mysterious otherworldly nymphy creature. And you actually think you see, like, something living poking up out of another portion of the cauldron, like, peeking at you before slipping back down into the muck. So the cauldron is huge, and it has, like, all of these different potions brewing in it all at once. Kind of like stratted in different parts of the pot.
Interesting. I'm not sure. What would you recommend?
Tonight is the only night of the year. The night we admit new coven members. The only night where we brew the new tea. Would you like to try it? It is a potent euphoric. Get ready to see things you've never seen before.
All right.
Okay.
Well met.
let's go. Seems like the thing to do on a night like tonight, right?
All
right.
Powerful hands grab on to the back of your shoulders, sort of like firmly but gently. Another woman tips.
I knew about myself.
Yep. These absolutely stunningly gorgeous young women with like a flush in their skin, and they have sort of a ravenous joy in their eye. They tip your hat back, push back on your forehead, and then pour something out of a gourd made out of human leather, and like squeeze it out over your face and let it like trickle down onto your
Yikes.
Lips. And boom, it hits you like a ton of bricks. Just this wave of happiness. Dozens of happy memories come flooding in, and a few little, like, crackling bits of magic pull out of the ether visions of your lost parents and family and lost members of your adventuring troop and party who had been, like, evaporated. Their faces had been, like, scrubbed from your mind. And then in this, like, crackle of potent magic, you see them. You see their faces and your eyes fill with, like, sort of joyful, you know, happy, sad tears, and this emotion runs up and down your body. And would you please make a vitality difficulty 5 check? Yeah, it's going to be a little... Xenator might be loopy for the rest of this this sequence.
Let's see. Composed?
Absolutely.
Numb?
Absolutely.
And... I think that's all I'm gonna get. Oh no, roll the 1.
Alright!
Classic.
I'm using the point of Grimm. Alright. Senator has a full emotional...
He had a bad trip.
No, I think he sounds like he had a great trip.
But he has, like, a full emotional, like, breakdown. Like... Not into a puddle of, like, sadness or whatever, but just, like, you give in so fully to this that you are like...
In some ways, I bet it was easier to not have those memories, but, like, actually, like seeing those people again just, like, circles back to what he did.
What you lost, and... Yep. So you didn't... Yeah, so the...
So it, like, starts happy, but then just becomes sorrow.
So you wind up laying on your back on a comfortable bed of moss, surrounded by other women in the coven, who the potency of your, like, the depth of your sorrow is so powerful that it is, like, leaking out into them. And there is just, there are dozens of these women, like, in a pile around you, holding on to you and crying and, like, feeling your sorrow along with you and, like...
So I think he's, like, actually sobbing like a baby.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, and then,
like, you know, but it's also really appreciative, so it's, like, choking out, thank you.
Yes. Have you all seen Midsommar?
The best scene in one ever? Of the best horror films ever. It is, because it is scary and beautiful and lovely at the same time. And that is the kind of emotional support that we don't get from our society and that cults can prey on. Mm-hmm. Very powerful film. Really love it.
It's so good.
Anyway... Xenator has a full Midsommar moment in a pile of witches, and I guess you don't really you accept this particular blessing. So I think that your will or your vitality go up by 1.
Will.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, this is a harrowing experience, but on the other side of it, you feel like you have the iron will. You feel like your will is as powerful as it could be for what you are in this point in your life. And whatever happens, that you got to be grateful for that. So, all right, Lavaline.
I think I needed this.
Oh. I think I needed this.
Oh, yeah. God.
And you're crying into this, like, nice bosom of a nice, you know.
A soft buzz.
Soft buzz. Just like a soft buzz to catch
I actually had a full emotional, like, a breakdown buzz last night watching a show where somebody who thought that their brother was dead, it turned out he wasn't, and he came back, and I just... broke down, and it's always grief always finds, like, ways in that you weren't expecting. Anybody who's lost, you know, somebody suddenly, and if you haven't, I mean, you will someday, so
you will.
I'm just trying to say that this is a lesson that we all are gonna have to learn, but, like, I know that those of you who have will know that, like, it finds ways to sneak in on you. Like, you can build up your defenses, but then you'll see something that makes you think of something in a way that you hadn't thought of before, and that just, like, gets right through. So it's almost like you have to build up calluses to it, and that's the only thing that makes it seem like it's easier over time, as you build up these sort of, like, tolerances to it. Anyway, Lavaline, which of the revels would you like to participate in?
Actually, Lavaline... who has never really been effusive with her feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You might have known she's become increasingly reticent.
Mm-hmm.
So she is just kind of standing off to the side, clearly not pleased to be there. And obviously you would know that, like, any amount of time is wasted time to her. Mm-hmm. That's not exactly fair, because clearly you can't keep going 24 hours, but that doesn't change how she feels about it.
Mm-hmm.
So she is being the party pooper.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so meanwhile, Nazi has run off from the group, and she and her new cat are over at the like familiar show. She is in a is in a pile of Drake whelplings. Those are like proto dragons. These like little curly snaky little lizard creatures with wings fluttering around and belching little burps of smoke and fire. But they have big eyes and wobbly little heads, and they are just the cutest fucking things. And she's under a pile of them, like laughing. And Doderfell has found where the children play. There are dozens of these like naked, happy, joyous little children running around the festival, and of course they have this like section of the festival where they are playing, you know, weird children's games that are completely inscrutable to the adults. Doderfell fits right in, and he's you know holding two little kids' hands and prancing around in this meadow with them. And Nottagaster has gone over to where the braiding is going on, and he's like, meh, meh, like kind of mansplaining some magical knots and things to them, and seems to be the only kind of magic he's actually good at, or maybe the witches are like
boosting him.
Yeah, boosting him. Yeah.
Oh, let him have this. Look at him.
You don't know where the cambion is, but you think you see a red spaded tail whipping up from underneath the pile.
But I see a pile of writhing ready, so I
you're not
have
sure.
To
you know, you
too
couldn't be sure.
Can't be sure, but I think he's up in that pile. Flesh.
Captain Dark is drinking like heavy grog with some of the older ladies, and they're swapping stories about, you know, mentorship and teaching like young people. Everyone looks really happy. Jalor is in the fire because he fell into it earlier and realized that it didn't burn him, and now he's dancing and prancing on top of the effigies going, I am a god!
God damn it.
Yes, you are.
So it's just you and Otax standing by, standing along the edge.
Like just grunting at each other.
I can listen to this. Just no dialogue. Just this, please. I love this.
Well.
Does anyone else have a dad or mom sound effect to add to this?
Have to eat that garlic.
Go ask your mother. Go ask your mother.
Amazing. Okay, so the two of them sit on the warm edge of the on the edge of the firelight. Also, the animals have all been unhitched and are also off playing and enjoying themselves in the festival. So it is literally just the two of you sitting here, like on the shadowy
edge.
Can
cut the sexual tension with a knife.
By the way, his ears have transformed into two like large blue bison ears, like sort of dangling on either side of his head.
Like in Pinocchio.
And his nose has like widened out and has like a brass ring in it.
This place is messing with my curse.
Yeah, you look more.
Yeah, and so do you.
He says, pointing at your shadow, which is doing this. Just doing this wild, abandoned dance behind you that you are not doing.
She is looking at her shadow in disgust.
Every once in a while, it twists and stretches out and, like, licks Martin's ear or something.
Well, also, you see Martin by the fire blow up his own butt to give him more twerking.
He's twerking with just heavy cake.
Yep.
Amazing.
So, thick. Just gave me some more of that thick back meat.
Oh my god.
So Martin Martin is thick, so that's fun. Val is winning broom races. Gwen is about as happy as I've ever seen her.
Yes. Yes. It looks like they're
floating.
Like, yes, it looks like they're all having a lot of fun.
Floating like Baron Harkonnen. Over And Xanator has had a full emotional epiphany, it appears, and it is in a pile of crying women. I don't think we're ever getting him out of here.
You're all gathered around.
The depth of my pain!
I'm sorry.
Oh, we're sorry!
The women cry out next to him.
Is there, like, oh, no. Joint together?
Oh, boy. Well, about the time to be hitting the old rusty trail.
Down to mosey home. You guys just leave.
I'm gonna go sleep in the cart.
I know.
Go check the tire pressure on the
sleigh. When's the last time you changed the oil?
Rotate the tracks. The doodad
machine.
Okay, so Otax goes and like buries himself under some of the supplies and stuff in the back, trying to drown out the sound of the music. While you're standing there, and you didn't notice her approach, but another of the mothers, so they're taller than all the others, their headdresses are more elaborate, they have sort of these like mantles of like sticks and moss and stuff built up around their shoulders, they have that sort of gray skin, and now closer up you can tell it is definitely some sort of a clay or something that they have like wiped on their skin.
Hello, not enjoying the festivities?
I don't believe I'm in the proper state of mind for that.
Understood. I am so full of joy. By the way, my name is Mother Miradane. I am so full of joy tonight. I wish to give you some of that joy. How might I do that? If it is within my power, I shall. What troubles you? Let me help, sister.
There's nothing you can do. You should go enjoy your festival.
My power is at its height tonight. If there is nothing that I can do, I would be surprised. Tonight I can do anything. I know it. Let me give you joy. Let me smite an enemy. Let me solve a problem. Please, let me help you in some way.
You wouldn't happen to know the Queen of Spite, would you?
The Queen? Yes, in fact, I have sat across a icy stare with her on several occasions.
Well, feel free to smite away.
Unfortunately, I don't think that would be in my best interest or the interest in my health, considering that she lives so close to here. And after tonight, her power will be much greater than my own. However, is there someone else I could smite for you? I see in your heart that she is not the one you hate the most. I see a blacker depth beyond.
Oh.
Do you now?
Are you familiar with the land of Deladridorn?
Indeed. I am familiar with the land of Deladridorn because the ill-gotten spawn that sits upon the throne is the child of the Queen in Glass, a sorceress of vile power and ill intent who stole our secrets and our spellcraft eons ago and has used it to bolster up the realms of men and kings. Teh.
She's also a terrible mother-in-law.
Well, so anything I did to help you would greatly harm her. Good. Well, you've made yourself an ally in Mother Miradane. May I please have something of your husband's? Have you kept anything of him at all? A shred of fabric, a bit of hair, or perhaps a memory.
Those I have plenty of.
Perhaps you could give me...
I'll take them all.
I could take them all from you if you like.
Lavaline feels very tempted, and there is a little bit of emotion warring on her face, but in the end, she declines. No, I think I might need them still.
Yes. Self-preservation.
Yep.
However, is there something you can spare? His smell, perhaps?
Yes.
The feel of his beard as he pushes in for a stolen kiss. Oh. There, I have it. So she reaches in and shockingly, her fingers push in through the front of your head, through your skull, into your mind, and she grasps onto that feeling. It's your wedding kiss. Where he pushed in with his like, he was trying to grow a beard. He was still young, but he was trying to grow a beard to look manly, and it was very patchy and scraggly in spots, and it felt just awful, like, off your skin. You looked like an asshole. And so she reaches in and plucks that out, and you forget it. You remember the wedding, you remember the stuff around it, but you don't remember the wedding kiss any longer.
Huh.
And she pulls it out, and then she stabs a silver needle through it, and somewhere you hear... like his lip split open and start to bleed, and the hair of his beard starts to fall out until it's patchy again, like he was a boy just starting to grow it. I may pay for that later, but I think it was worth it, don't you? And then you see your shadow clapping, and you hear this faint little patter from behind you. You gain 2 points of reckoning.
Fair. And worth it.
13?
Yes.
Okay.
We're twins now.
Twinning.
Does that mean anything?
Yes.
It might. You won't know until next time you take a rest. And you wake up and the shadow has moved stuff around. Stab Martin.
No.
Sexually.
No. Oh,
no. Oh, my.
So, okay. However, you now gain the blessing of the festival, the blessing of vengeance.
Nice.
All right, so you can gain a point of cunning or a point of strength.
Cunning.
Sounds good. All right, so the festival, part one of the festival has wound on, and everyone has found something delightful that they have enjoyed. And then just kind of like the flow of the festival pulls you all back together. As more tea is brought out, this just sort of like a calming, like sobering tea that like kind of pulls all of your minds back into focus as the, you can hear a bell like somberly tolling from somewhere deeper in the woods. So another part of the festival is about to begin.
In between sips of tea, Martin is just downing water. Just guzzling it.
You're so sweaty.
You guys, I just want to say I love all of you so much. And I'm absentmindedly stroking Lavaline's feather.
Oh, yay! And Lavaline on the other side, the Cambion is also guzzling water, and he is shirtless. And he's got that, like, I just picture him as having that perfect length of chest hair, just like a little, like just that nice on the red pecs that he's got. He's brushing your hair on the other, or your fur on the other side.
Do you guys see when the Cambion did the dirty dancing lift with me?
Did you see it?
Do it again. Do it again.
Okay, here, run, okay. Run at me. Okay. Martin runs at him, and the Cambion, and he goes up, and then he slips, and they fall into like a tangle on the ground. Oh no, I fell! He says as he drops Martin on top of himself.
Well, did you see that Todd has won Familiar in Show?
Best in Bird, everybody! Best in Bird!
Most gruesome transformation?
That's the
people
cutest
will be talking
I've ever seen.
About it for That's centuries to come.
Very large ribbon you got there.
It is heavy and it hurts.
It is also permanent.
Yeah,
I can't take it off.
Oh. We're winners.
Wow.
And what is this piddly cleaning device you found yourself with? So Valeriana.
Gwen the Witch Queen, who, by the way, has a.
Still floating.
Still floating. Mm-hmm.
and has had a cloak attached to her of moonlight, which is like draped on the ground behind her.
That, I'm
like,
gorgeous.
Two young like witch attendants are like holding like the train of a bridesmaid's dress or a bridal dress,
but still giving like big sister at the younger sister's birthday party energy a little bit. It's like, but I got this for my birthday last year.
What is this piddling cleaning device?
You know, it's ugly and I hate it. It looks stupid.
It picks up in the air, spirals around, and like comes over towards Gwen and starts sniffing.
Yeah,
her,
let
like,
me show you. And then like she like gets off.
Starts sniffing like, at you like a happy puppy.
I pet the broom.
It makes this like little like.
It appears it's taken to me.
Come back here.
So weird. This went off the rails real quick. Where do I procure one of these stupid sticks that I definitely don't care about or want?
Oh, you just gotta, you gotta win. You gotta win a few races. I could show you some tips.
I desire a broom.
Yes, whatever your heart desires. But perhaps you would like to craft your own.
Yes, I would. That sounds way cooler than what she did.
Selkar Gavor!
And out of the darkness, a massive, lumbering tree. Comes lurching out of the darkness, and you can see that it is floating. This massive tree doesn't quite touch the ground. Its roots trailing and dragging in the dirt.
Witch of the wood.
I feel like I'm gazing into my future as a part tree, part manatee, also floating.
Yeah, the face on the front of the tree born into the knots and...
And I don't feel great about it.
Witch of the wood.
I would like to create a broom.
I see. Then, my old challenge, shall we dance, my witch? Shall we dance? Strike free the wood if you wish to take it!
And the tree comes lumbering at you, floating and hurtling across the ground at great speed. Roll initiative, Gwen!
For myself?
Yep.
Okay. Oh! That is... 14.
You go first.
Okay, then I'm gonna use my great mace.
She takes out her friggin' walloping weapon and charges at him. Do it. Guard is six. God.
Well, I rolled a 15.
Boom! All right, you crash.
I definitely hit it.
Yep, so you find a good branch that like calls out to you. It looks like it could... You know, it's big. It could. You're going to have a nice big broom, you know, to support your weight. It has, like, the back end doesn't even need bristles. It has, like, roots coming out of
Fuck
it.
Fuck yeah.
They have, like, make their own bristles. And you smash into it. How much damage do you deal?
That is 10 plus my strength.
Which is
5, so 15 damage.
You crash into the branch, and you see a big crack, like, run up along its side.
Sorry.
Plus 5 for every power you have, too.
Oh, yeah, plus 5 for your power.
Thanks, Dash.
I think I'm back to, what, 1 power?
2
power?
No, two? Probably. How so just check one. Your power stat at the top of your... Because you might...
2.
2, okay. So, 25.
Oh, God.
All right, so a deep crack spreads out along the branch. It doesn't quite snap through.
Ooh, well struck, and now it is my turn. I'll crack loose something from you I wish to make into a necklace.
And he takes a strike at your face with one of his enormous branches. All right, guard, difficulty 6 check.
Goddamn. Well, I have plus 2 guard, all right, so difficulty 4.
14 or higher.
And I rolled a 14.
Hey!
No joke.
Gwen, as the branch comes rocketing down at her, she swings her club upwards and smashes it back, and the thing like falls backwards, like its branch falling back over its wooden shoulder. And she strikes again. Knock that branch loose, Gwen.
I have to do it again?
Yeah, you gotta deal another
15 points of damage at least.
Uh-oh. That was a miss. Swing and a miss!
So you swing in, and your club ricochets off of its trunk, and the tree lifts up one of its massive feet to stomp down on you. So another guard six check.
Smooshy, smooshy.
16.
Holy shit! She dodge rolls out of the way like fucking Bruce Willis in an action-y type movie.
I was like, where is this one going?
So now I gotta hit him again?
Yep.
There's a hit.
Boom! The branch 18. Cracks and snaps off, and there's a flare of light. The tree just vanishes out of the air, but that chunk of wood falls and hits the ground in a steaming pile. And then it just... But it doesn't... So it hits the ground, but it doesn't stay on the ground for long as it just starts to float back up. And it's big and thick around the middle, and it has roots and tangles on the back end.
We can fly, we can fly, we can fly, we can fly, we can fly.
All right, Grimwood Broom.
Holy shit.
The Grimwood was not very chill. Cramuel had heard tales of the Grimwood all his life. All kids had. But when he was set upon by red-eyed carnivorous squirrels before he even pulled himself out of the branches he had fallen into, he realized this place was no joke. Young Bonks, after escaping the squirrels, was riddled with rodent bites, but recognized healing sabedo leaf all along the ground. F-minus, very concerning, see me after class, my butt, Professor Spitteroo. Here we see practical, real-world applications of information from class. Where's my extra credit? He muttered to himself as he smeared the sabedo leaf into his wounds. Days later, when the hideous rancor infection subsided and the horns and spikes were starting to fall off his back and neck, Cramuel found himself in a completely different part of the forest. His time as a hedge wearer had convinced him that A, maybe he didn't know everything that he thought he did, B, maybe he was going to have to be more careful, and C, he didn't think that was healing sabedo leaf after all. A and B are important and come up later. A. Cramuel was always bigger than all of the other children, which meant that he was always right if he just squeezed or pushed or punched hard enough. The revelation that none of these things, squeezing, pushing, punching, or even yelling and demanding, seemed to have much effect on things in the real world. This was both a terrible shock and a revelation to Cramuel. His life in the village had in no way prepared him for just how weird the world got. It was a staggering betrayal. B. Cramuel was going to have to be more careful. This one is even bigger because it was something he could actually do. He needed to look before he leapt. This was a revolutionary concept. The sound of something massive moving ahead forced Cramuel to stop congratulating himself and duck behind a tree trunk. Peering out from around cover, Cramuel saw a massive mound of fur and muscle moving through the forest ahead of him. Had to be an ogre or a troll. He was above it, on top of a rise, but even at this vantage there was no mistaking how big it was. Its mouth was wide and drooly, with dozens of big broken teeth jutting all over the place, and it had this, like, crazy mohawk of spines down its back. Very gnarly-looking creature. Then he heard a laugh, like an old lady laugh. Then an old lady voice. It was old ladies in the woods. They were laughing and talking to each other. But more than that, they were heading right towards the big monster thing. Cramuel had to rein in every fiber of his being not to rush out, yelling and waving. Remember, Cram, we are going to think about stuff before we do it, right? Yes, Cramuel, but those old ladies are going to get absolutely wrecked by that mohawk ogre brute if we don't jump in and save them. Yes, Cram, true. Those old ladies are going to get demolished by that thing. It's not even going to be funny how pulped and masticated they will be. So, have we thought about this enough to act? What would Nugs say? Dude, is Nugs even real? I think we might have made him up. Don't be ridiculous. Nugs would say that old ladies getting absolutely fucked up by ogres is extremely not cool. Sounds incredibly solid to me.
Nugs is a wise-ass man, if he's real. And with that, Cramuel Bonks grabbed onto the heaviest boulder he could find, picked it up over his head, and with a mighty self-righteous roar, hurtled it down on the Mohawk ogre brute thing, wickedly caving in its head in an epic fashion. Now, it did turn out that these three were elder witches of the Grimwood Coven, tremendously powerful beings hundreds of years old and more than capable of protecting themselves. And perhaps that ogre creature was, in fact, cowering and hiding from them. But sometimes being a good ally means acting insanely and brashly and helping people with a problem they could easily solve for themselves. "I did it," Cramuel said. "You're safe." The witches laughed really hard for a long time, which made Cramuel feel a little awkward. But on the plus side, they let him carry the ogre's pelt and horns back to their witchglade for them, and they said they might even teach him some magic someday, as long as he did what they said, performed menial labor for them, and never talked back. If he was good, he could learn the many wondrous secrets of their spellcraft, just as soon as they were done renovating the classrooms. Thanks for listening to Could Have Been Heroes, production and editing by Aaron Schoenrock, theme song by Bo Hoover, and cover art by me, Robert Knudsen.
Could Have Been Heroes is an entirely independent podcast, so if you like the show, please subscribe and review. For exclusive content and hands-on Farital access, head to patreon.com/CBHpod.
Tune in next week for more adventures, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CBHpod. And check out our website, couldhavebeenheroes.com.